Yeah.
You go there.
If you're okay there, right?
If you feel comfortable.
If your highness doesn't mind.
My highness fine.
We're rolling, by the way.
Oh, yeah.
Welcome to Sing Songers. Hey, Sing Dingers. Welcome to Sing Songers.
Sing Dingers.
Sing Dingers.
What's all this about Sing Dinger now?
Do you need a plug in?
And
yeah, let's do that.
Andy just left. Oh, I got flange on me. Flange. Do you hear that flange?
I do.
Yeah.
Too much flange.
Flange.
Can you
there it is.
Flange. There it is. It's gone.
Andy just left the studio. I think he's like drinking in the next room. We just did the skull juice.
Uh-oh.
And now we're doing skull dingers. No, sing song. What is this one called?
Sing
songers.
Sing dingers.
Sing songers.
Sing songers.
Welcome to Sing Songers.
We got Robin and Dan from the C Word.
Hello.
Hello.
You guys, I was listening to some of your stuff today. I like it.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah.
You know, I thought you would enjoy it.
Yeah.
I think our music tastes are fairly parallel.
I think so. I think I'm more country influenced than I thought.
Yeah. Yeah. I hate pop country. I mean, it's the worst, but very influenced by early country.
Yeah.
I think
I'm influenced by people who are influenced by early country because I never really listened to it that much.
Good stuff.
Yeah, but it is. I mean, you know, like now I listen to Hank Williams and
so
Marty Robbins and shit like that.
Yeah, all the old good stuff.
Yeah. And do you guys write together?
We're trying to.
Yeah.
Well, get to it. This is Sing Songers, assholes.
Well, see, when I linked up with him, he already had like a lot of songs.
Yeah.
So we've been.
Well, that's interesting. So you're, and have you written songs on your own, Dan?
Yes. Yeah. I've been in a few.
So you guys are trying to figure out how to work together.
Yeah, it's like a new muscle that.
Yeah.
We've written some stuff together, but it's. I'm so used to sitting like every morning, getting up, working on stuff.
Yeah, because when I wrote with someone, I did mostly lyrics and he did the music.
Right.
But you guys both play, and so like, how do you split the chores?
Well, a lot of it comes with, like, Dan will just have a drum beat.
Yeah.
Like, hey, what about this?
Right, not really.
Or
a song,
we're practicing for a gig, and we just fuck around, and it's like, oh, that's a song. Let's work on it. Let's get to it later, and then...
Cool.
I get a line in my head. Like, it'll be a specific line, and I'm locked into it.
Yeah.
And so one of the songs we've written together that feels pretty strong just came from a line that I was like, here's a great line. Let's just work around this. Oh, man. I'm nervous. What was the line?
Why are you nervous?
Are you talking
We've
about...
We've known each other forever.
It's true.
The Charlie Chaplin's Ghost one?
Yeah. It's such a fancy studio.
Oh.
This is... Oh, see? Look, but I'm burping.
Y'all got...
Let me put you at ease.
You got
I'm
the
a pig.
Foam on the walls and stuff.
It's so perfect. I feel better now, though.
Yeah.
I don't know the line, but it was something about Charlie Chaplin's ghost, and it's kind of an old Hollywood tale.
Oh yeah.
At the moment.
Evil Knievel jumping coast to coast.
Yeah. Yeah. It's got a theme. It's about people that took chances and risks.
It's got a theme, Sing Dingers.
Follow that thread, that theme.
I just said that because Andy just walked in, and he'll get mad if I call everyone Sing Dingers on my show because we call them Skull Dingers.
Yeah. Treading on his territory.
All right, sorry, I wasn't listening because I was doing that bit. here comes
here
Andy.
Comes.
Uh-oh.
I have figs. Fresh
figs. Andy brought figs.
Figs.
Hey, Skull Dinger. Welcome to Sing Dinger.
Here's a rule of thumb.
They really are fresh.
Always take Andy
it's like
Dick's
when,
figs.
It's like when Bob Hope shows up on The Tonight Show.
Thank you.
Do you know that...
You don't have to eat them.
What's the difference between the purple ones and the green ones? Because we have the green ones at home.
Oh, they're just two. One's called...
Are they all mission figs or is this
no,
a mission
this
fig?
No, mission fig. And the other one's called... Excuse the sea. Caligula, Cala.
Ooh, Caligula and figs.
I'm going to take them out because. And Dina, take them home, please.
All right, I'll take them home this time.
I'm going to put them on the floor so you see.
Well, put them, in the box, right?
Bye, not, ding dong ding.
Bye, ding ding.
Bye, Andy Dick.
That was nice.
Thanks for the figs.
So, what were you saying? Something about music?
Something about music. No, we're. Me and Dan met like several, like many years ago at like art openings. I worked for an animation art gallery for my day job, and Dan would always come in, and we'd have like an awesome time talking, and I'd be like, we should hang out.
Here in L.A.?
Yeah.
Yeah.
But you know you do that with fucking people, especially here in L.A.
Yeah.
We're going to hang out. Let's play.
Yeah, yeah.
It took 5 years to get there.
Oh, yeah. Right, yeah.
But then we were like, oh, you play drums? You play guitar? Blah, 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 blah. And then we just started playing, and I had all these songs, and then...
Did you guys both have the same taste in music immediately, or was there any crossover? I mean, not crossover, but were you guys interested in different things at all? Or?
No, I think our music is, our taste is pretty parallel.
Yeah.
Yeah. He listens to a little bit of hip-hop. I listen to a lot of hip-hop, but, you know, whatever.
You don't do a lot of country.
Nah. We don't. Well, you know what? We did do one song. I did a short animated thing, and for the end of it, for the credits, we took one of his songs and fused some hip-hop into it, and I think it's pretty bitchin'.
Oh, wow.
It was awesome.
Folk hop, I've been calling it.
Folk hop. Oh, I heard full cop.
So did I.
Folk
I kind of got scared and tensed up.
Yeah. I heard filled cock, but that's just me.
Butt gravy. But yeah, we have very similar music tastes.
So how did that song merge? Like you just had a folk song and then you just started rapping to it? I mean, I don't know. I'm 80 years old.
It was all written out. It was all kind of structured out, and there was like a section, and Percy was like, that's 9 bars. I'm like, okay, is that a problem? Because that's what it is. It's like, no, that's fine. I can write to it.
Yeah,
so
he
just wrote his bit to it. And
right. I guess, you know, I mean, I guess there's the rap started very, you know, there's rap in every kind of music. I'm thinking Devil Went Down to Georgia. He kind of raps in that, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. I was embarrassed to say that.
And all that. No, there's worse example. I mean, that's a good song. Like that, that you want to turn that up and bounce to it. But there are those like really like maudlin Elvis songs who are like,
all right.
He's just more like talking.
Yeah,
there's
more,
no rapping. It's
talky songs.
Yeah.
A lot of those.
Yeah.
It's like, I got tired of singing, so I'm just.
Right. But Devil Went Down to Georgia, he's kind of rapid firing it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like a book.
you started. So let's take one person at a time. So you started writing when?
Probably about 20 years ago. I used to be like a visual artist. I came out here to go to art school, and it was something that I just taught myself the guitar and to write songs, and literally while the paint dried on these paintings, and then I got to the point where the art world was just kind of ridiculous, and I enjoyed music and songs as a craft and a medium that much more, and they don't take up any space.
I know, it's great, and it's only a guitar. They're the motorcycles of instruments. Because I remember, I had a motorcycle for a while. I'm like, this is great. You could park it anywhere, you know,
underneath a bar stool.
Yeah. But when did you get confident? Like, how long after you started writing songs?
I'm sure it took a long time. I got kind of serious maybe 3 or 4 years ago, where I'm gonna do this. I'm gonna put out an album every year. I'm just gonna
cool. And how many albums have you come out with in 3 years?
Three.
Wow.
I think
three or four.
So we're trying. We've got one in the can, and we're about to start a Kickstarter to get it funded.
Yeah.
But it's just, you know, it's just like, just reach the goal. But I got really, that was when I kind of got serious about like the craft. Like, what are the rules? What are the forms? Because I was just writing shit.
You don't care about the rules?
Well, because you got to break them. I mean,
okay, I know, but I'm too lazy.
Yeah.
I'd rather not know.
Well, how did you go about that then? Was it like... something you just did research on?
How
did you learn the rules?
I went to Nashville. I joined like some writers groups, and
oh wow!
So
wow.
I was like, I'll try the Nashville thing, and then I was like, I don't like the Nashville thing.
Right. You
know? So is that your personality to go like, I want to know the rules of things and then break them? I mean, I feel, or is that just specific to music?
Only when he doesn't like the rules, right?
Oh, yeah.
Like in Nashville.
It was, no, it's doing something for 10 years, 15 years, and be like, I want to get better. Like, I want to really focus on this. And, you know, I don't know.
A sense of knowing what you're doing?
Kinda. but here's the thing. I have not a very good memory, but once I learned that there's like a structure to the songs, like if you rhyme it like this in the first verse, you need to repeat it because humans are kind of...
Right, but isn't that like instinctual?
No, because I was writing more like rhythm and the sound of the words, but they weren't.
But that might have been more interesting.
It was, and there's some good songs that I wrote.
I'm just playing devil's advocate.
No, it's fine. But once you put a structure like that, I found it easier to remember the songs just as a performer.
Right. Yeah.
But still, you can break the. I mean.
Yeah.
When you know, I'd much rather know the rule you're breaking than to fucking get busted and be like, you're not supposed to kill people. And be like,
I think there's two kinds of people. People who need to know the rules and break them. And someone like me who, once I know the rules, it's hard to break out of them because I'm
conditioned. Oh, really?
Yeah. I think it's better for me not to know the rules.
So, yeah, I mean.
It's just that's the way I am.
That's a personal thing.
Yeah, yeah.
See, I would much rather know the rules and break them and try to get away with them.
Yeah,
like that works. I was in high school.
Yeah.
Like doing shit, getting away with it, and no one knows, but you know you're.
Yeah, see, I'm erratic, and I always got in trouble.
I always
get in trouble with songwriting, too. And Dan, now, we've known each other for, 10, 12 years now?
Yeah.
Yeah, we worked on
Moral Order. But really outside of a music structure, which I feel like
changes that's what's interesting.
Things.
Were you into music then?
Oh, yeah.
I mean, like, were you knew drums and...
Oh, yeah, big time.
Do you play any other instruments?
Piano.
Jesus, I didn't know that.
Yeah. I have a vast musical background. Piano and drums, really. But I went to a performing arts high school where they made you feel like an asshole, but then they made you do a lot of practicing and learn things that were really outside of my comfort
zone. Weren't you in the marching band or the school band?
No, it was a jazz band. The marching band was kind of like, we're not fucking going outside and marching.
Yeah.
Did you do competitions and stuff?
Jazz band competitions. Yeah, absolutely. But I mean, I just kind of, it was hard because I wanted to fuck off and not practice, or just play
what you want.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. I'm kind of the opposite with Rob in that aspect. Like, I don't fuck your rule. I want to do what I want. And
yeah,
kind of, just ends up a punk rock thing, I guess.
And do you think you're more, attracted to the drums? Or to the piano at this point?
Drums.
And then when you start writing, do you think in melody? Or, I mean, is it a beat that goes in your head? Or?
No, I usually start with lyrics.
Yeah.
I almost always start with lyrics, but I've had a bunch of melodies creeping in, so I just ordered a keyboard. Because I haven't had a piano or a keyboard in front of me in a long fucking time, and I can't get these melodies out. A lot of times if I have something, I'll hum it or be like, ding dong do it to like Robin. He'll figure it out.
Yeah, yeah.
Make sense out of my fucking gibberish.
Right, because he went to school.
Yeah. He can, he can play more things.
And Rob, what do you start with mostly?
It's always the words for me.
Yeah. Yeah, that's interesting. Yeah, because most people I've had on this show have started with music first, but I start with lyrics.
It's really hard for me to fit the words to the for me to be like proud of them or I don't know, and that's why like going back to me and Dan kind of being new to collaborating because I've done some of the co-writing and the collaborating. It's just you. At the end of the day, you want to be hanging out with someone that's cool.
Yeah.
And you're having a good time and not being like, I don't like you.
Yeah. And let's not run a tight ship and let's just,
We brought in a fiddle player at one point and we kicked him out because we hated his pants.
That's all it takes.
No.
That's all it takes.
He kept saying, sorry, I was going to stop by for a six pack, but I didn't. He did it three times. Like, there's no six pack.
He says he's going to bring one. He never brought one.
Yeah, it's like no. He admitted that he didn't bring one. So it's like, why did you even bring
right.
one? Now it's in my head. You owe me 18 beers.
Yeah, exactly. And he wanted to let you know that his heart was in the right place.
I guess.
But his laziness wasn't.
Fuck his pants.
Fuck his pants. What did his pants look like?
They were bell bottoms. Right, man. Patched jeans, bell bottoms. No good.
Well, those are in now again. Not for our kind of bands, though.
Yeah. Not for my kind of folks.
Yeah. So, like, when you guys get together and write, what's it like? I mean,
pack ourselves in his garage
and just start playing. Do you jam?
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, we'll just play on, he'll play a chord, I'll play a drum beat and something happens. Or if I have, you know, like the some kind of lyrics, I'll bring it to him.
Right, yeah, you guys come
in. Or I'll bring in the lyrics and Dan will like kind of sort of almost like produce the way the beat, like how the...
But I mean, we've been so tied up with, how many songs do you have around?
300, 400.
So when we Jesus, 400 songs,
dude. Whoa, so when we 25 started, 25
years. What do I do?
When we started,
how many years?
25 years.
Yeah, but I, you know, I did that. I only have.
But
60.
It's like a daily practice for me.
No, it's great. I mean, you know, you're great.
But they're not all.
You
good.
Just make me feel like shit.
So we've been hung up with those 300
Yay!
Songs.
That's no, amazing. But Dan and I have a lot of ideas of I mean, just beyond music, of collaboration, and it, a lot of it, it's you have to build a foundation, I think, when you're working with someone. Not always, but it helps to have like a vast trust.
Yeah.
Where when you get down to the nitty gritty, you're just making decisions.
And not only that, you have to let go of your ego.
Yeah. Oh, totally.
Because I know sometimes I'll have a song and I'll get stuck and I have to just say, all right, let go of your ego and bring it to someone, you know? It's not going to be just your song.
Right.
You know?
Yeah. Do you guys ever, like you're saying, you might come with lyrics mm-hmm. and then you guys will like jam out something together, but do you ever write on each other's lyrics?
Yeah, we've started to do that. So that the song that's not done, but it's really close, it's like, Dan had a line and a kind of a way that it should go, and we sat down and we kind of busted out some like the structure and the and kind of more lines to support like what the idea was, like someone who was misunderstood, and we've been super busy to get together the last couple of months, so we're just getting back on our weekly routine. Mm-hmm. So I think more and more we want to get to where the whole thing is not just here, this is almost done, let's finish it, you know?
Right, like really co-writing.
Yeah. And also in the last year, we've been trying to finish the record, which is all
it's
original
a different
Rob songs. But I mean, once you put bass and drums to it, it changes the dynamic. So
yeah.
It probably, I feel like it informed a few of the songs.
Totally, yeah.
When something doesn't seem right to you and the other one suggests it, how delicate is that? A process.
Like, there's a great line, and it's this could be better.
Yeah, right.
I'm very blunt.
That's kind.
Yeah,
I don't like holding back opinions, especially if you know my drums.
I think if you guys are in sync, what I found out, like with the band. Sorry, I'm interrupting you, and you're the guest. Go ahead, keep talking.
I don't remember what I was going to say.
All right, I was going to say I'm a little drunk, but when I write with the band or we work together. We're in so much sync that, you know, if one says, yeah, that's not really working, we know what we're talking about because it is the word band finally hit home to me. You know, you hear the word band when you're not in one, and you go, oh, it's a band, but it's a band.
It's your family.
It's a group, but a real close knit group of people.
We just lost a bass player, and you know what?
To the internet.
It was really fucking emotional.
Yeah.
It was a
weird
friend and a bandmate, and he just fucked off like nothing was the matter. And
what do you think? Why?
The internet.
Girl.
Man.
A girl.
No, I wish it were that simple.
A stupid girl.
Yeah.
Right,
Jesus.
Church.
It was Jesus.
He uploaded girls. He uploaded himself to Texas, and then that was it.
Oh, never fuck, saw, it was
he
Jesus.
He didn't even say goodbye. Yeah, it was Texas.
Jesus,
the other
Texas.
California,
Texas Christ.
But I digress, man. Your band is your family.
Yeah,
Texas,
like you
got
to be close with those people. And I think what you're saying is you have that unspoken thing just going with them.
Yeah, yeah.
You guys feel abandoned.
Yeah, yeah, we do. And I
abandoned.
Abandoned.
Yeah.
But it because you know it had been it and still is to a certain point. And I had been like. All my primarily Rob Fawcett songs, like it was like, all right, excited because after you play live and you work with people in a small sweaty room for a year, you're really in sync and you're just clicking all the time. And it was like exciting to be like, okay, once we can get this project done, we're all going to just go into the room every week instead of practice every week and like write.
Yeah.
And then was like, what the fuck?
Yeah, like one-third of your brain left.
What do you do with the songs that you, like, wrote with that person? Did he, was it part of the writing process, or?
We replaced his bass lines.
Yeah, he wrote new ones.
Yeah, I mean, because he wasn't really speaking to either one of us, so.
Do you have to replace them, or?
No,
you just...
but it was like, it's kind just of like, fuck you. You didn't say goodbye, and we're almost done with this. This is a group effort, and randomly, one of my oldest friends from high school from Chattanooga, Tennessee, like, messaged me. He was like, hey, can me and my band cover the song that was actually going to be on this album, but I'd written it, like, 15 years ago? And I was like, yeah, and it just was like, I was going to hire somebody, $50 a track, and he was like, why don't you just fly me out to L.A. for the weekend? And he just put it down, and it was good. Like,
nice,
it's,
yeah.
And
it
was nice.
Yeah. It worked out for the best, I think.
And do you have a bass player now? Or?
Nope. It's like Spinal Tap, but for bass players. Yeah,
we're
always
looking for somebody, but we're also fucking, you know.
All you bass players
pricks.
Out there.
Yeah. I'm sure that we got a few bass players.
Stand up bass players.
Stand up. Oh, yeah.
Stand up. You're right. Yeah. I think that would kick us to the next level.
Well, half the battle is they're a stand up bass player, so more likely than not, they're cool.
Yeah, because they're stand up.
Yeah.
You're one trumpet away from stardom.
Isn't that always the case? I've always been one trombone away from failure.
Do you guys know when you write a song like this is one that everyone's gonna like, and are you usually right with that? Or
that's a good question. I'll let Rob
finally
answer that. I have
you kind of hope.
Fucking 20 episodes
it's,
in.
It's really not till you play it live and you can see like. You're super jazzed on it, and like no one's fucking looking up from their phone. You're like, well, maybe it's not.
Yeah,
as
but that,
good
that
as
doesn't
I thought,
always have to do with the song.
I think it at the end of the day or the end of the year, it's the songs that you just always want to play over and over again.
Yeah,
because the ones that you try it a couple of times when it's new, everything when it's new is like exciting, but it has to kind of have legs almost. I think.
So we have a song called, it's Rob's song, but we play it often called MR Ducks. And it often gets people like clapping and singing along, and it's an exciting song. Rob and I have also talked about, you know, the pitfalls of having that pop song that everyone likes gracious to have a pop song.
Oh, yeah,
but then
you
have to play it every night.
Right.
Which I say, you know what, if I get the traction and I get people buying records, fuck it, I'll play it every night.
Yeah.
But I don't think Rob feels the same way.
Yeah, I don't know how I feel about having to sing Jufro on my body for the rest of my life.
But that's not
Is that one of your songs?
No, I mean...
Is that how the song goes?
Jufro on my body.
It's another one of his songs.
No. Do it again.
Jufro on my body.
So wait, well, what was the song you were talking about that you got?
It's called MR Ducks.
Can you play a little bit of that?
So
or all of it?
Do you have a shaker?
You want me to shake?
Yeah, shake
all
it.
Right. Shake it.
Let me move my finger.
And I think it's a great song, and if people want to buy the records, I'd play it for the rest of my life.
All right.
Well, that song's, I like this song. Okay. It's a Buster Keaton song, because I'm going to play it.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's everything in the song is about Buster Keaton.
Yeah, this is I'm a big Buster Keaton fan, so all the verses are kind of what has happened to him.
They have no lyrics
in the touche.
Nice. Yeah, really nice.
I will start playing. Fell asleep at the movie show. Woke up on screen trapped long ago. When I'm walking down the river wearing a boat, water's too shallow when my feet don't flow. And I'm standing in a bowl with a gun in my hand, just trying to press a woman who don't understand. And I'm trying to shoot a fish but my arm is too short. And this is all the news that I have to report. MR duck, MR not duck.
O-S-A-I,
C-M-Y, M-R duck, M-R not duck,
not duck,
O-S-A-I, C-M-Y. Well, the trip I built for the lady and me, we got it docked at the bottom of the sea, and the house I built was crooked as rain. Dang if I know, it got hit by a train. And I got me a camera and a hat that's fine, just to impress that woman of mine. And I work at the bank, try to solve crime. Something happening all the time. MR duck, MR not duck. O-S-A-I,
C-M-Y,
MR duck,
Meet me at the church at a quarter till three. There's 3,000 women running after me, but my baby of mine, she's the only one smiling at me in the noonday sun. Am I dust? Am I not dust? O-S-A-I C-N-Y. Am I dust? Am I not dust? O-S-A-I C-N-Y. O-S-A-I C-N-Y.
Yeah.
Woo. Yeah.
The C, is it C word or C words?
The C words.
C words.
The C words.
All of them.
Yeah.
Not just cancer. All of them.
Oh, I didn't think cancer at all.
Who I was chose the name?
Country.
Country.
That's where it came from. Nah, that's don't I'm... call us country.
Country's not a dirty word.
Yeah.
Are you? Now you're from what? Florida or something?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Where are you from?
Tennessee.
Tennessee.
So we have Georgia in between us.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, good old Georgia.
Yikes.
So, like, who influenced you guys?
I started with the big rock, because that's what my parents brought into my life, like the Rolling Stones,
yeah.
The Who, Bruce Springsteen.
Right.
And eventually I wanted to find out who influenced those guys.
I mean, certainly the Stones were influenced by country. I don't know that much about who influenced who, but like the Who were they influenced by?
You know, I don't
all
know.
All those guys are influenced by America, like blues.
Yeah, yeah. I know Delta the Rolling blues Stones.
And I was super into that shit, like the acoustic, like the Southern blues, not so much the Chicago, like up north electrified stuff, but like just the country blues.
Yeah.
Like Charlie Patton and Robert Johnson and all those guys are just, I thought it was so fucking cool. But as a white guy, like I don't, that's not me.
Right.
You know, like,
it's you
just
can't sing
not me, but I freaking love to listen to it. I was thinking about this the other day about how in college when my friends were super into the Stones and all, especially their like country years, like the Grand Parsons years, that I was just like, I don't know how I feel about Mick Jagger singing with this Southern accent. Like, who is this fucking guy?
I know, that's the thing. I think I was influenced by Mick Jagger. I'm like country 12 degrees away from it, you know? It's like,
country,
I mean, I'm into a British guy singing country, you know?
I brought my own beer. Sorry.
Oh, well, we got our beer here. Well, that's nice.
I know, but...
What kind of beer is it?
This is C2C Lager.
Ugh.
I have an IPA.
What the fuck is it?
I don't know. It's like fancy PBR.
Yeah, you like...
They stopped selling PBR in bottles in my grocery store, and I keep going back thinking they've changed.
But... Yeah, but why'd you get this crap?
Because I got a streak of fancy.
We got Pacifico in the other room.
I know, I drank it.
Well, we have more.
I didn't know if I was supposed to, like,
one
order it.
One per person.
Yeah, we get some. We get some. Is there anyone...
Replace his crappy beer.
Do you want one, too?
No, I'm good.
All right.
Thank you, though.
Church, you want a beer?
Nah. Yeah.
Just one. Thank you, Matt. Matt's our engineer and our engine beer.
Wow.
Zing.
I want an engine beer.
Can
we talk about influence, I guess?
Yeah, I was just thinking that I have a country influence and I don't deserve it.
But you said you came to it later when we first started.
Yeah.
Like,
I think maybe I was influenced by, you know, like folk rock, maybe a little bit, you know, and Dylan and Paul Simon and Cat Stevens.
And you grew up in Illinois?
Chicago. Yeah.
John Prine, he's my hero.
Prine. Yeah.
He's from Chicago.
I didn't get into him until recently.
Yeah. I had a friend in college who played him all the time, and I was like, oh my God. And
he
must
be from rural Illinois, though, right? Is he from Chicago? Like, because he's got a twang.
He might have been. Well, because I think he went to Vietnam. I'm not sure if he went to Vietnam, but he was a mailman.
That's where he picked up the Southern accent?
But no, he moved to Nashville, like, in his 20s.
Vietnam.
I mean, he moved to Nashville in his 20s, so.
Yeah. I'd love to get him. I'd love to get him on the show.
Yeah, they speak with a twang in South Vietnam.
I want to get more into you guys writing together because that's fascinating to me.
It's happening.
Yeah. And do you think you're more lyric based and you're more music based, or
no? Actually, we both start with lyrics.
Yeah,
so Dan's pretty lyric based.
Yeah. You know, I've been
but it's it's putting in the time. Just with anything, it's putting in the time, and it is practice to write with someone. It's also practice to go into those co-writes cold, like they do in, you know, Nashville or wherever they do it. Like,
right.
there's an art to just going in with a perfect stranger, sitting down and banging out a song in 3 hours. I don't like that.
Yeah,
it's just not my style. Yeah. Like, I don't enjoy it at the end of the day. At the end of the day, I want to hang out with someone and you kind of
have a thoughtful kind of interaction.
It takes a while to develop like a really good, for me, for us, like a rapport to where you get, I think we still are kind of tiptoeing around, but it's because we haven't had the time to just sit down and dedicate one night a week. Like, we get together one night a week, but it's always been playing, practicing, working on other stuff. So,
yeah. I guess what fascinates me is it difficult to bring a personal song in a co-writing situation?
I don't think it should be.
We've become such close friends. Yeah. I think we're very open with that kind of stuff.
And do you guys have reoccurring themes that one has that the other one doesn't have in your songs, or are you just writing about everything? Everything.
I think everything, but also our sensibilities are the same.
Yeah,
we're writing. I mean, like the other thing that I started,
like, you're
writing,
not writing. I love Trump, and he's writing fuck Trump.
But I'm writing about Charlie Chaplin's ghost, and he's, you know, writing a Buster Keaton song.
Right.
So
yeah.
I mean, there's. I think we're cut of the same cloth.
Yeah. Yeah.
For sure.
Yeah. You should write like an Abbott Costello song, because that's a team. Write about a goddamn team.
Yeah. Solo bastards.
Or on Hardy, somebody.
But you
write a lot of old Hollywood shit. So, yeah, I mean, it's got to be inspiring to be around here.
We're nostalgic. We both equally like places like Musso and Frank's.
Yeah.
Like, give me a good night and a good steak. Good cocktail, that kind of thing.
I wrote a song like a couple months ago, and I had the word Facebook in it, and I'm like, I gotta take it out. It's like, it just felt weird. It's like, it's not gonna be. I want that song to live forever.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Do you ever? The same way.
Yeah. I have the same problem.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, there's a. I respect people who do it. Like, I think Father John Misty, someone does a great job at. I just can't do it.
Right.
He's like that kind of, like, I think he's like a true folk singer. Like, he's singing of the moment.
Yeah.
Like, it sounds funny, but it's like deep ass shit. Like, that's really like identifying problems with why we're all fucked.
Right.
And I think it's brilliant, but I can't do that, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, there's a certain merit to, I think, like Nina Simone, or, you know, this is just like, you got to write about what's going on right now. And I don't feel like writing about fucking dumbasses on Instagram.
Right. Well, I think everything's so fleeting now. I mean, back in Nina Simone's time, things weren't as fleeting. Even like fads are something that we still kind of remember in our collective memory.
Right.
I think, you know, I mean, what if you wrote a song about Friendster like 10 years ago or 20 years ago, whatever that was?
Yeah.
That song would suck now.
Or a phone call that costs a dime. Or even a jukebox.
Well, like, I
who knows what a jukebox is anymore?
I just bought a fucking jukebox.
I've always wanted one.
A 45.
What kind? Really?
Like, from 1979.
What kind? What's the brand?
It's
It doesn't matter, but it's like just like a standard like 45 jukebox.
Yeah, yeah.
It's fucking great.
Yeah.
That's my dream.
From 1979. And, you know, and I have a song about a payphone, you know?
Oh.
I think that's still in our collective memory. I think kids have heard of payphones.
There's nostalgia, but you don't know like what's going to hold up if it's too current, right?
Right.
So
like Facebook,
you can maybe
who knows?
Write about something from 5 years ago because you know it held up and you know it's like in the popular culture. But also, like, you can write about something like the phenomenon of Instagram without saying Instagram.
Right. Right.
Like, you can write about vanity, which is absolutely timeless.
Sure, yeah.
So.
I know, it's kind of, I understand.
Just ego.
I understand what you're saying about having, like, Facebook sit in there and it feel uncomfortable, because I feel like when I first started writing songs, like, I was just looking at like John Prine and like Woody Guthrie and like these and Hank Williams and Woody Guthrie, like those two guys, they're just talking about real shit. I mean, Woody had a lot of topical songs, but Hank Williams, it's like stars and heartbreak and drinking. Like, that shit ain't ever going away.
Right.
Exactly.
And there's nothing wrong, you know, with writing about Facebook if you want to. It just doesn't feel right for me to do it, you know? And I was just wondering if you guys have that hang up too, a little bit.
I do.
Yeah.
About time or dated things. I'd be fine with like a payphone or drive-in movie even.
Yeah.
But a technology, it doesn't work for me.
Well, fleeting technology, like Church was saying, it's like it's we don't know what's going to.
Like social media will probably be an enduring thing, but what's the next thing? Because it was MySpace and it was Facebook, and then it was Instagram and Twitter, and like what will the next thing be? Social media is probably not going away, but. Right.
No, there was some article that I just read, or like a headline from like the mid-90s or 98. It was like, the internet is a flash in the pan.
Yeah.
okay.
I wish.
Well, that's what happened to the music industry, too, is they didn't take seriously the incoming trend of downloading music. They had an opportunity to get on that in the beginning, and they didn't do it. Labels were just like
fucking
that's not going to ever happen.
If Kodak Camera had like, if we just sell ink for printers, we can still be a company. But they're like, no, we reject that idea.
Yeah.
Bye.
Yeah.
Yeah, who would have known? Yeah. And then they said Trump was going to only be around for like a week. That guy's never going away.
Nah.
Sorry, I keep bringing him up.
It's hard not to.
It's hard not to right now.
Isn't he supposed to be on vacation?
Locked and loaded.
Yeah, he's the president I want on vacation constantly.
I know. Let him stay on the golf course.
Yeah, the only president that gets us into a war while he's on fucking vacation.
Oh, boy. That's why I got drunk today, folks.
Do you write political songs?
I just wrote a Christmas album.
Oh, nice.
You're my Facebook friend, so you probably know this.
Yep.
I wrote one song called "O Bethlehem" that is kind of political, but in a universal way. Like this it's just about this area that Christianity began and started from, like such a pure kind of place of love, and now it's just about, you know, hate. And,
well, Bethlehem's like a theme park now. Like, the real Bethlehem isn't. They moved Bethlehem to be close to somewhere.
Yeah, I didn't do a lot of research.
Really?
It's a fucking theme park?
Yeah, they moved it to be closer to the tourists.
Well, maybe I could sell it to them.
If you know the guy with a CD. Just
and now all Christians want to do is bomb the Middle East.
Yeah.
Where the Holy Land is.
No, I know. It's insanity.
Well,
yeah. It's that old thing, like, if Jesus was around, the Christians would hate him, you know?
Yeah. No, they'd string him up again. Yeah.
No, he'd be in Guantanamo.
Yeah. Do you guys write political songs, though?
No.
No. Mm-hmm. I really try not to get political, because it just...
I mean, that song is barely political. You'd have to, like, look really hard.
Yeah. I don't know. People are, especially now, I mean, it's so polarized. It's just like, oh my God. You can't even have a conversation anymore.
Yeah.
So I don't even want to bring it
up. Yeah, it's boring almost.
Oh, it's not a conversation. It's just a...
Yeah, it's just instant...
It's contradiction.
aggression.
Yeah.
Thank you, internet. Fucking asshole. I mean, I blame the internet for everything.
I thought you were a flash in the pan.
Why are you so big?
You want to play another song? You got anything else?
What's your favorite?
Yeah, what's your favorite?
I have,
there's so many that it's hard to pick, but I can name a few.
Do you have a favorite?
Do you want to play Sweet Misery?
Yeah.
Or you want something else?
Play something with some zip.
Why not? Why not a sad song?
Yeah. The ladies love sad songs.
Good. Yeah, us ladies love them.
Do I need to wait for you to get your...
No, play on. I don't really know what I'm going to do.
All right. I brought you that Lou Reed pick you got me.
Nice.
You got a Lou Reed pick? Nice.
It says Lou Reed. I assume that he had it and threw it out to someone.
What is it? Is it a heavy, a light, a medium? What?
I think it's a medium.
I don't think it's heavy. Not that I was going to ask you for it.
Can I hold that?
I was just interested in what he uses.
I'm burning out clutches when we were just kids. In circles at midnight, we'd joke as we'd skid. If we died driving, this would be the right place. We laid on the hood and looked up at space. We weren't shy. We're strumming a borrowed guitar with morning air and night. Tired eyes, wishing in your graveyard, sweet misery, sweet misery, sweet misery. Plastic of flowers get dirty and fade. And these fresh cut roses they'll just throw away. And your blue jean jacket, it still hangs by the fridge. And I found a note you left under the bridge. Some kind of goodbye. Strumming a borrowed guitar with morning hair and night-tired eyes, wishing in your graveyard, sweet misery, sweet misery. Just wants to go home, and I'm tired, oh, of trying. A strumming a borrowed guitar with morning hair and night-tired eyes, a pissing in your grave. With sweet misery, sweet misery, sweet misery. By my side, sweet misery. By my side, sweet misery. Thank you.
What inspired that song?
Some of it was, I remember, like, first hanging out with, like, when you get your, we all got, my friends and I all got our licenses when we were 16, and Chattanooga's like a It's like a mid-sized city, and it's surrounded by, they call them mountains, but they're fucking plateaus. Like, yeah. But when you got your car, like, you could do anything. So we would, like, hang out at graveyards.
Yeah.
And, like, someone would have, like, a manual, and like let's teach everyone who doesn't know how to drive a 5-speed list, and you're just fucking hanging out. And then it was just like a line, like, actually, now that I think about it, I ripped that off from a Shelley poem.
Yeah.
Something about sweet misery, just kind of him like having a discussion with his misery and saying, don't you fucking feel pity for me, like, get away from me. Fuck you, kind of.
That's my read
of it. And then just kind of melding these things together and having a line like sweet misery in a bar guitar.
Yeah, that's great. When you said they weren't mountains, they were plateaus, I thought that's kind of a cool line. Yeah. Like, you don't climb in Chattanooga, you plateau out, you know?
Well, you climb and then it's flat.
It's just flat, yeah. It's like you don't really reach anything.
And climbing up the mountain only to find it at a plateau.
Yeah.
You feel like you're on a mountain.
Yeah.
I was always miffed, or I was always confused, because in the summertime it was hotter downtown, and you go up to the mountain, I was like, aren't we closer to the sun? Should it be hotter up here?
Yeah, well, you know. You went to school for music, not...
Yeah. Not actually, no, I never...
Not weather.
I've never had a music lesson. I've never been to school for music. I don't...
Oh, really? Oh, no. you just taught yourself, right?
I found a book.
So when you start writing a song, do you guys start with words, but do you when you start writing the actual words, do you have a theme in your head, like, I want to write about this, or is it just...
It can be. It usually starts with a line,
yeah.
I think.
Yeah,
and usually there's an idea behind it.
Yeah.
A line and a feeling.
Yeah.
I mean, sometimes it's just like, what is the song about? Like, what is, at a certain point, when it's on the page, it's not about you anymore. It's like, what does the song need?
Yeah.
And there's a lot of like, God, I really fucking like that line, but it's like, sorry.
Sometimes that line goes away.
Yeah. You got to put it back in the closet.
I find I usually, I write the chorus first.
Really? All the time?
Mostly because that's the catchy part in my head.
Right.
You know, then I write outward, you know, both ways.
Well, that actually makes me ask a question. When you're thinking of lyrics, is there already a melody, or is it sometimes just words?
For me, sometimes it's half.
Yeah, sometimes for me, but usually
sometimes just meter, maybe, or
there's always a kind of a rhythm to the words for me, or I don't know. It kind of plays back and forth. Like, I just write it all down, and then you sort of find the melody, like of the words, and then it's like, okay, it's these lines are too long. They've got to be a little shorter to fit this melody that these words suggested.
Right.
And it's like this. It's like, to me, songwriting is a lot of, it's like sculpting, where like you kind of have this block of wood or marble, and like Michelangelo's, like the form will come out. You know, just keep at it, and it's painstaking for me, like grueling, because it's
it takes you a while to write a song.
It can, like, sometimes it'll fall out on the page. I'm like, it's done, and then it's like, no, it's not done. This verse sucks, or this line sucks, or this word. Like, it kind of gets to the minutia, and I kind of enjoy it. But at some point, it's like, wow, I've been working on this song for a long time.
Do you ever have a song and the lyrics and the idea don't feel right with that specific melody, or
the song that we need to frickin' finish. I wrote a song. The words are there mostly.
Yeah.
It's called "My Ass and Kiss It." Like, giving someone directions out of town because they cheated on you. Like, take a ride at my ass and kiss it.
Yeah,
and
which I think is fucking great.
It's a great song. We just haven't found the right groove and tone, because you can, if you say it too angry, you're just an asshole.
Yeah, that's interesting.
So you got to get it across with and it's just, we haven't hit it yet. But it's one of those things, it's like you keep pulling it out, and once you hit the groove and you record it, like, it's done.
Yeah,
but,
That's interesting.
Yeah.
Do you ever reference other songs when you're stuck? Like, do you ever think, well, like, it's like, well, if I'm thinking of a song that this song is like to me, you know, like, what would the song be? kind of thing, you know, like, oh, are there songs that kind of communicate like a similar thing? Are you ever like thinking of other music when you're writing music?
Because you kind of go through like, it's sort of like, well, what have other people done? You know, like, how did they solve this problem?
Exactly.
Because it's kind of, it's a little bit like, it's kind of like take this job and shove it. But it's different because you're talking to a woman. And as a guy talking to a woman, you don't want to be too creepy.
Yeah.
Right.
But at the same time, she really fucked him over. Like, it's not, I mean, it's not, it's like kind of a fiction song, but it's funny. I don't know. Yeah.
Are you guys ever conscious of the time signature of a song? Because I just got into a little trouble with my band. Yeah.
Trouble.
Because, I wrote a song and it was in 3/4. That's waltz, right?
Yep.
Yeah. And then I played it. I was trying to play it slower for my lead guitarist, but I changed the time signature to 4/4. And he came up with some really cool shit and it got really poppy and cool. And then the rest of the band heard it and they're like, well, it's not 3/4 anymore. And I'm like, well, let's just make it 3/4. And he's like, I can't do this in 3/4, you know? So I'm not even conscious of 3/4 and 4/4. Now I am. No, now I can't stop thinking
I had a similar... Yeah. When I first started writing songs, all of my songs were in 3/4. I didn't know.
Yeah, I didn't know either. I still don't.
It felt right. Now I'm kind of more... I'm sort of conscious of it.
Most of them were 3/4?
Every single one. A friend of mine, I used to go to Texas every spring and just hang out by a river and drink beer and play music all day long.
Yeah.
And this guy, Rob, he was like, dude, every song you write is in 3/4 time. I'm like, no.
Wow.
Is it? No. Huh. I should look out for that.
Yeah, yeah. So or don't.
Be the guy who always writes waltzes.
Yeah.
But back to the rules. I like to be aware of it.
Yeah. So now you are aware of it, but you're not conscious of it usually. I mean,
I met a guy in Nashville who was like, the last hit it was 3/4 times was Strawberry Wine, and that was in the '70s. I was like, point taken.
I don't know. I like both.
But
my 3/4s.
I think most people, when you're drinking at a bar and you're just hanging out and you just want to listen to music, it's going to be in 3/4 time. Is it a hit? Not really, but who cares?
Yeah.
I mean, that's what I like to listen to, you know? I mean, part of it.
Yeah.
I like to listen to a lot of shit, but...
Yeah, definitely. Oh, cool. What else? This is... I usually just end with what else. Because I'm like, oh, yeah, we're in the 50-minute mark. We're just coasting now.
Not too shabby.
Yeah. Go ahead.
I have a question for you. I've asked a lot of people in bands. When you guys play, do you make a lot of eye contact with your bandmates?
I don't. No, because I'm still, I think I'm a little self-conscious.
Yeah.
Still playing, and I don't want to fuck up. And I also want to try and connect with the audience. But I'm a bad front man too, you know. I'm still learning.
I mean, we're the same way though, you know. We'll look at each other to end, so we make sure we end together, but other than that, and I found with our bass player when he was around, the same thing. Like, we just tended not to look at each other.
Yeah.
And I've asked a few other musicians that looked at me like, what the fuck are you talking about? Of course I look at my bandmates.
I know, I would like to get there.
But as a drummer, you just look at my butt.
It's true.
Yeah.
Somebody said that, I was like,
yeah, you're not in control of the looking. You want to look, you know?
I do.
Yeah, you want some face contact.
Someone look at me.
I like the bars where like...
Although I saw like videos, you look over at your old bass player, I guess. Yeah.
Yeah, I often was trying to push him to be more into it. And, like,
and making faces behind his back.
Who knows what he's doing
talking
back
about
there
now.
I like to watch TV, like the bars with the TV in a corner. I was like, well, I'm going to watch this ball game.
Well, where are you guys playing next? I want to come see you. When I have people on, now I'm like into it and I want to see it.
Yeah,
seeing you guys play live was fun.
We're going to set up a string of shows to support our Kickstarter thing. So
is this for the album?
Uh-huh. Yeah, we want to print vinyl.
Oh, cool. Yeah. You know, I have a vinyl.
It looks sexy, man.
Yeah.
It looks good.
It's good. We'll never make our money back, but that's all right.
I feel like it's something that you just can't.
Yeah. No, I was told by a young record exec who was cool, like she had her own label, and she's like, you only make vinyl if you're like on the road all the time. I'm like, well, I just want to see it.
Yeah.
Or if you have your own company where you can sell them in the store.
Yeah, exactly.
I was actually saying today, because I was watching Tish box up loads of these records and she's all overwhelmed by it. I was like looking at this stack.
Well,
I was
looking
at a stack of boxes and she's stressed out all the time. But I was like, you know, if someone was stocking this record in their little record store and this was how many they were selling at the rate that we're selling it, they'd be pretty happy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
With their choice to carry it, you know?
Right, yeah. But like, so Starburns isn't making any money on it.
No, well, but it's no judgment on people's interest in your record.
No.
Like, actually,
you've taken moving. On something big there, too, man, writing fucking songs for everyone that buys it. Well, how many
Oh,
are you
right,
up to?
Yeah, I promise.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, and I think I'm going to write them on this show.
Really?
No, yeah. I'm going to write them on this show.
How many are you up to that you know you have to do?
I think at least, I don't know, 55. Mm-hmm. It's not.
It's not crazy,
lot.
Well,
not
but
lot,
that's
yeah.
a lot.
To,
that's a lot.
It's a lot of songs.
You're just gonna do like a Mad Libs. Where like
no,
you write a song.
No, I'm gonna try and write a good at least 30-second song for everyone,
and then
if they're really good, I'll expand them and make a whole album out of the songs I wrote for people.
And then
that's
there'll be
awesome.
A whole new vinyl to sell to people.
Yeah, that won't sell.
That won't sell.
Make it a digital download. Get it out of here.
Yeah. So wait, where are you guys playing?
We're setting up some stuff at Cinema Bar, Genghis Cohen.
Oh, nice.
But it'll be
Molly Malone's,
September supporting the whole
thing. We're going to start in September, but if anyone wants to, you can find, we're all over the place. Rob Fawcett Music on Facebook or C Words on Facebook or I have a website, robfawcett.com.
Yeah.
That just have an email thing, so...
All right, cool.
Yeah, if you sign up for the email, you'll be able to find out where we are.
All right. Rob Fawcett, Dan Levy.
Thanks for having us.
The C Words.
Yes.
Thanks. That was fun.
Yeah. Thank you.
Yeah.
It was fun.
Yeah. Bye.
Bye. Feral Audio.